God bless you. We're asking everyone if you would please get your Bibles. And let us turn today to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. As we prepare our hearts to receive what God has prepared for us today. And there's one thing we know. God's word will not return to him void. And God sends his word to help us. So we thank God that he is a loving father. Philippians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We thank God for the reading of that 29th verse. And the Lord has placed in my heart to share with you today from this subject. Glorifying God in sufferings. Glorifying God in sufferings. As we look at that 29th verse, it reminds us that we have to believe on him, believe on Jesus in order to be saved. We have to have faith in the redemptive work that he did on the cross for us. He paid our sin debts. And in order to become a child of God, we have to believe in Jesus and what he's done. But then there's another part that many times people don't understand or even don't consider it. But the latter part of that 29th verse says, but also to suffer for his sake. Christians, born-again believers, those of us whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Word of God is letting us know that we're going to have to suffer for Christ's sake. Being a Christian does not exclude us from the sufferings, the afflictions, the trials, the tribulations that come against us in this world. We need to, as children of God, keep in mind that it's good against evil, is the devil coming against God. And any time you live for the Lord, you do not identify with the things that the world is doing, and you let them know that I don't participate in that, well, you're probably going to have some opposition. But this is what we need to remember, and this is what, as children of God, we need to always keep in mind that God has given us the answer for life in this world is in his word. And in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 12th verse, it says, and yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God is letting us know that we're going to face persecutions. You're going to have opposition. The opposition comes in many various ways. Sometimes it comes against us with a stranger, somebody that we don't even know. Sometimes it's our own family members who do not agree because we don't agree with the lifestyle that they live. And they get upset with you. So Sometimes it's your neighbor. Amen. Amen. So it comes, it's strangers, you know, driving down the road sometimes. Amen. People get upset with you. Amen. So their sorrows, the suffering, it means the afflictions, the trials, the temptations, the oppositions. Amen. See, those are the things that we have to endure and suffer as children of God. But here, God has already told us that we would have to suffer these things. As you look in that fourth chapter, again, as we're continuing to look at that fourth chapter, we find out here that these trials and tribulations is part of being a Christian. Saints, that's our life way. When you take a stand for God, the enemy is going to come against you. And he comes, you know, we sing a song that says, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You know, God helps us with one thing, and he also helps us with another. And he keeps on helping us as long as we look to him and live according to his word. We have the assurance that God is going to help us in every situation. Amen. So being a Christian, with the things that come with being a Christian, it's just our lot in life. Amen. And I tell you what, even with the troubles that we have to face in this world, it's better going through it as a child of God than a child of the devil. Amen. Because one thing we know, see, the devil will get you in a situation and he'll disappear on you. Amen. There's one thing we know about God. He said he would never leave us. He'd be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the midst of trouble, he's there. So there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. But God wants us to remember these things, because when these trials and tribulation come, sometimes they come as a flood and they come so quickly, and the devil wants you, he doesn't want you to concentrate on the word of God. He wants you to be concentrating on your troubles. And if you're concentrating on your troubles, then you're not remembering what the word of God says. He said he would keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on him. Saints, we're in a battle. There's a battle. The devil is going to and he's yet seeking to devour folks. He hasn't changed his tactics. And his number one enemy is the people of God. Thank God, because we have been delivered from the bondage. Let's, if you would, let's turn over to turn to Peter, the fourth chapter. First Peter chapter 4. As we let the word of God strengthen our hearts today. All right, so First Peter. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The tribulation, the trial, the temptation, the persecution, that's not strange. Amen. Jesus already told us. Look at verse 1 in the same chapter. It says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sins. See, if you don't concentrate on Scripture and you let all these things that overwhelm you and you can't sleep, because you're trying to solve something that God has already taken care of, see, then you need to remember what the scripture says. These things are coming against us because he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That ought to bring joy. These things are coming my way, but I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a child of God. And a lot of times that's why they're coming against us, because we are the children of God. And when you think on that, it brings joy. Amen. It brings peace. It helps you to know that God is with me and I don't have to obey the devil anymore. Because the Bible tells us to resist the devil. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. You know, I like to say it's like those little children when they're growing up, 2 years old. The parents know about that. Everything is no, no, no. We have to teach them. You got to obey the parents. Can I get an amen? And so, but this is one thing God is teaching us. It's all right to say no, no, no to the devil. Thank God, because he's not our leader anymore. He's not our father anymore. And God wants us to stand on his word and resist the devil. And when you do that, we know that God is going to help us. God is going to help us. So there are some things that we as Christians need to do as these sufferings come our way. And the first thing I want us to look at it is we need to rejoice. In the midst of troubles, rejoice, saints. Don't dwell on it, because if you dwell on these troubles, first of all, if you could fix it, you wouldn't be dwelling on it. So you would have nipped it in the bud right away. So there are some things that only God is going to be able to work out. So what God wants us to do is to know that since we can't work it out, our Heavenly Father can. And he wants us to rejoice. All right. Over in Acts, keep a mark in 1 Peter. I'll be coming back. But I want to give you an example over in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. All right, Acts chapter 5. And we are... All right, Acts the 5th chapter. We're going to see an account of where the apostles were beaten and told not to preach about Jesus anymore. So they agreed, the council agreed that they're going to let them go, but don't speak in Jesus' name. But they beat them. All right, then let's look at the 41st verse. Acts 5:41, it says, and they departed, that's the apostles, from the presence of the council, the enemy, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You mean after they were beaten and probably it was embarrassing to be whipped like that, they went away and they said it was worthy? It was worthy to suffer shame for his name. Saints, we need to remember that, because he suffered shame for us. Amen. They whipped Jesus. Amen. Amen. Nailed him to the cross. Yes. Amen. Called him names, spat on him. Yes. And he endured the shame for us. Yes. And we sure ought to be willing to do the same for our Savior, because he's done so much for us. He died for our sins so that we could have a right to his heavenly home. He died. He suffered and died. They didn't take a handkerchief and whip him. Amen. They abused Jesus. And he endured it all for you and for me. So after they released them and the apostles determined it was worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now remember, the council told him, don't teach it his name anymore. Let's look at verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They owe Jesus too much to stop. Amen. Amen. Man didn't send them on a mission. God did. And God wanted them to preach the gospel, and the gospel is necessary to be preached today. We need it. Man needs the word of God. The Bible lets us know you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, in Romans where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's important that the gospel continue to be preached in the midst of trouble. And see, and a lot of our trouble comes, Christians, when we stand up for God. Then they go against us, but they are resisting the very thing they need. It says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But listen why the devil doesn't want us to hear it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. The devil doesn't want the gospel preached because it brings freedom. It opens the blinded eyes. It lets us know there's a better way. It lets us know we don't have to serve the devil. It lets us know that Jesus died to deliver and destroy the works of the devil. And when Jesus saves us, the devil can't have us back anymore. So God wants us in the midst of these oppositions and trials and tribulation and temptation to give God the glory. Give him a glory, a hallelujah, and a thank you. Because we have the assurance that he's going to bring us out. So you need to rejoice. Don't lose sleep. When you find out you're not asleep, fight it. Pray. Recite scriptures. Think of what God has done for you from times past. Think of how he helped you, and he continues to help you. Amen. We got to fight. We got to learn how to fight the devil. Amen. He wants to overpower your mind. But thank God the word of God is more powerful than the devil. And so rejoice. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. I don't want the Lord to deny me. Amen. We don't want to be in that part where he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So in the midst of our temptations and trials and tribulation, glorify God by rejoicing, because he is worthy. All right, let's look at 4:14 this time. So the 13th verse tells us to rejoice. The 14th verse says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So the word of God is telling us in the midst of these suffering, trials, tribulation, temptations, oppositions, God wants us to be happy. The devil doesn't want you to be happy. But God says, be happy. Amen. God has more power than the devil. The power that the devil has, God has granted it. God allowed him to have it. Oh, but I thank God that God tells us today that we are to be happy. When we talk about Jesus and they laugh at us and they say, oh, you holy folks, and y'all think y'all the only one right in the world and all these things. When they do it, that's all right. Glorify God. Amen. Don't back up on your testimony, because we have a testimony. We know what God can do. We know how one day we were in sin. We know how one day we were disobedient. We didn't obey God's word. We know how we were going against the things that we knew were right to do. And but thank God, we know now that God is a deliverer. And the things that I used to do, I don't do that anymore. Amen. Because God had power to deliver me from sin. So be happy. Let's look at the third chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Listen what the word says. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. I'm going to read that again. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. They can come against you all they want to, but our God is our deliverer. Yeah. Amen. He said that he would provide a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. We have God working on our behalf. And he's a God, as I told you, he never sleeps and he never slumbers. Look at verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're not ashamed to let people know we're saved. We're not ashamed to let people know that we don't do drugs and we don't fornicate and we're not clubbing and we're not gambling and we're not cheating on our husband and cheating on our wives. We don't have a wife and a girlfriend. We don't have a husband and a boyfriend. Can I get an amen? That's against God's word, and we stand on God's word. And when you do what God says, there's always a blessing in obeying God's word. But they're going to come against you. But that's all right. We're going to take a stand. We have to stand. Jesus died so we could stand in the midst of opposition. He will strengthen you. He said in his word that he would help us. First of all, he said he would strengthen us. And he said, yea, I will help thee. Then, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And if God is going to uphold you, nobody can bring you down. Nobody can, they can come against you, but we have victory because our God fights for us. 3:16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. Amen. See, we got to live this life. It's fine to have a testimony, but you got to live it. Amen. Because as I constantly remind you, people are watching you. They see you going. They see you coming. Amen. The cashier in the grocery store, if that's the store you go to all the time, they see you and they know whether you're putting some liquor in your. Amen. They know if you're over there gambling. Amen. So people are watching you and you want them to be saved. You got to live saved in front of them. Say, thank you, Lord. As I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I do it because I know sometimes people are going to come against me, but that's all right. We're in good company because they came against Jesus. As you look at the word of God, you know, I brought up, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Jesus had the same problem. If it wasn't one thing, it wasn't the Pharisees, it was the Sadducees. If it wasn't them, it was the chief priests. So Jesus had many problems, but he always came out victoriously because he obeyed God's word. And we will have the same victory as we obey God's word. So in the midst of these sufferings, be happy. Be happy. You got to think of what God wants us to do. The devil wants us to be sad. He wants us to say, oh, poor me, what am I going to do? God wants us to know that we are a child of God, and we know that our Heavenly Father will avenge us. We know that our Heavenly Father will bring us out. We know that our Heavenly Father will strengthen us in the midst of opposition. We know that he's right there because he said he would never leave us. Oh, I thank God. So be happy. Be happy. As we continue, the next thing God wants us to know to bring glory to him in these sufferings, don't suffer for your faults. Don't suffer for your faults. Let's look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, you might not kill anybody with a weapon, but the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you hate folks, it's going to come back on you. You're going to suffer for it. God said in his word, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. All right, let's see what else God is saying. So he says, don't suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Don't take something that belongs to somebody else. Amen. God said, work with your own hands so that you have something to give somebody. Amen. So if you steal, you're gonna have some trouble. Or as an evildoer, well, the scripture tells us that the evildoer is going to be cut off. Say, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. That's over in Psalms, the 37th Psalm. And then God says this last part, are as a busybody in other men's matters. All right, a busybody. You can tell everybody how to live their life. You can tell a lady who's having trouble in the home. If I were you, I wouldn't take that. And the man who faithfully do what God says by loving his wife and make provision, and he doesn't run around with the boys after work, he goes home. And then he loves his wife. When you love your wife, you show action. And then they'll say you hen pet. Some of them need to be hen pet. Maybe they'll do right. But because you're doing right, don't let them embarrass you. Amen. Don't let them tell you, well, you know, you can go. No, not going anywhere. Amen. See, a lot of times, this is what I have trouble understanding. A man courts a lady, and he calls her and do all these wonderful things. She can't breathe hardly for him being right there. He asks her to marry her, and they get married. And then when they get married, he is going out with the boys. He's not calling when he's late from work. Amen, you know. When I was late coming home from work, I'd call Sister Faust. Say, I got to stop by, take care of some business, I'll be a little late. Why did I do that? Because if I didn't let her know, she'd be worried. She'd be concerned because I had a regular routine, and her routine is broken, and she hadn't heard from me. See, when you do what's right, you can't pay attention to what people, and we need to keep that in mind, man. Do what's right. Ladies, do the same thing. Do what's right. They tell you, yeah, he act ugly when he come home. I'm gonna have a headache, so I didn't feel like cooking today. Do what's right. If you do what's right, God will fix it for you. Amen. See, the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. That's a good lesson to learn. Husband and wife, love and kindness. See, they Christian, that's what we need to be telling folks who want to tell you, no, I ain't going to cook nothing. If you cook it, you tell them, it's on the stove. I'm going to bed. Christian, that's not right. That's not right. You do what's right. God will do what's right by you. And if you got a husband or a wife who's unsaved, how are you going to win them acting like they're acting? You got to show a difference between holy and unholy. But the important thing is to stay out of other folks' business. So remember this. When God said, busybody, there are two sides to every story. And people used to ask me, I want to be the counsel of me. If a lady asked for that, I say, you ought to bring your husband. Amen. If the husband says, I said, you got to bring your wife. Amen. So that if you start saying, well, he didn't do such and such, he's sitting right there and he can agree or deny it. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? But if I get the one side, you know what side I'm going to get. The person is talking to me and they're doing everything right. Amen. Stay out of other people's business. Mother-in-law, mother-in-laws, when your children get married, don't run their house. They're grown, and you don't run their house. You pray for them. Can I get an amen? They got to learn how to live together. They can't live your life. And a lot of times, the folks who are trying to run other folks' lives, their lives not in order. Oh, God, help us. So busybodies. We'll always tell somebody how to live. Look in the mirror. Are you living right? Are you doing what God says? That's the important thing. So don't suffer for your faults. Because if you do what God says don't do, you're going to have trouble. All right, let's go a little further. We look at the 16th verse. It says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, child of God, born again believer, follower of Christ, who knows that obedience is better than sacrifice, let him not be ashamed. So if the devil comes against you and tries to embarrass you in a crowd of folks, don't be ashamed. Identify for what it is. It's the devil at work. And the devil doesn't want folks to come out of sin. So if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Over in Romans 1:16, I just quoted the scripture. Oh, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We can't be ashamed. Because if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. And we sure want Jesus to know who we are. When he comes back, we surely want Jesus to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But you got to be faithful and not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on that behalf. Glorify God by doing what God says. Glorify God by when they come against you, remember that we don't have to defend ourselves. Amen. The word of God is powerful enough to take care of the situation. See, a lot of times we put our part in it. God doesn't need our part. Other than just to say what he said. And when we do what God says, God's going to help us, saints. He's going to bring us out. He's going to work it out for us. So glorify God. Over in 1 Peter as I close, 2:20 it says, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. Well, the world says you got what was coming to you.
Amen.
Amen. You did wrong and it came back on you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Nothing, God didn't get glory out of that, and you shouldn't either when you were done wrong. But look what he says. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And that's how we glorify God in our Christian suffering. Do what was right. And when the enemy comes against us, just be patient, knowing that God is going to provide a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. Know that God says it's better for them to be in the depths of the sea with a millstone around their neck than to offend one of God's children. Remember that God says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. So in the midst of suffering, let's give God the glory. Glorifying God in suffering. Will everyone please stand?